And Rahim, all praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, the title of the class is Types of the Hearts in the Quran. Inshallah, we will continue to know about our goal of creation, which is worship of Allah. We learned that for any action or saying to be accepted as an act of worship, it must be accompanied by proper intention, that is to say, for Allah's sake. Pure intention is a must for any action or saying to be rewarded by Allah. So the question is, what is the place of intention? It is the heart or the tongue? The place of intention is the heart. Accordingly, inshallah, today we will learn about our hearts, and we will learn that we must have pure hearts so that we can have pure intentions. To learn more about the hearts, we will learn from the sayings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware, there is a piece of flesh in your body. If it becomes good, the whole body becomes good. But if it gets corrupt, the whole body becomes corrupt. And that is the heart. Okay? Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, taqwa is in the heart. Taqwa is obedience of Allah's command based on belief and fear of Allah. Okay? So, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is clarifying that the taqwa, the fear of Allah, the belief of Allah is in the heart. And if the heart is good, the whole body is good. If the heart is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. This is to clarify the importance of the heart, which is the place of intention. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, verily, Allah does not look at your shapes and wealth, but he looks at your hearts and deeds. Also, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, consult your heart. Rightness is that about which the soul feels tranquil and the heart feels tranquil. What is the meaning of this? If you want to know that you are following the right path, consult your heart. If you feel tranquility, this is the right path. If you don't feel tranquility, okay, or if you don't feel that you are following the right path, if your heart is suspicious, this means that you are not on the right track. Okay, so all the time consult your heart. Also, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, deeds are judged according to the intention, and the place of the intention is not the lips, it is the heart. In conclusion, we must be concerned about our hearts, and we must be sure that it is functioning as Allah wishes for it to function. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to make dua after the beginning of the prayers, saying, I seek refuge in you, O Allah, from knowledge that doesn't benefit, and from a heart which does not fear. Okay? So all the time we must be aware about our hearts, and we must be aware that our hearts are connected to Allah in the right way. So we learn about how important is the heart regarding the other parts of the body, and now we will learn about the types of the hearts in the Quran. And actually, this is a very important topic for every Muslim to know, so that we will be always having our hearts as the good hearts which are mentioned in the Holy Quran. In the Quran, there are two different types of hearts. The sound, alive, healthy hearts, that is to say the white hearts, and the corrupt, sick, sealed hearts, which are the black hearts. Today, inshallah, we will start by learning about the white hearts. And the first type or kind of the white hearts is the sound heart. To know about the sound heart, we will recite from Surah number 26, verse number 89.
Illa man ata Allah biqalbin salim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But only one who comes to Allah with a sound heart.
So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sisters, we can recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim verse 88 and 89 so that we can know the meaning more clearly. You can recite it in English, 88 and 89.
Today, when they will not benefit wealth or children, but only one who comes to Allah with a sound heart.
So Allah the Almighty is clarifying that on the Day of Judgment, neither the wealth nor the children can give benefit, but it is only your heart which, if it is a sound heart, inshallah, it will be the source of, or it will be your way to the paradise. We will recite also about the sound heart which is related in the Holy Quran in Surah number 37, verse number 84. Surah number 37. Verse number 84.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذ جاء ربه بقلب سليم.
You can recite 83 and 84.
وإن من شيعته لإبراهيم إذ جاء ربه بقلب سليم.
And indeed, among his kind was Abraham, when he came to his Lord with a sound heart.
So again, Allah the Almighty is mentioning to us about the sound heart, and actually it is Prophet Ibrahim who was mentioned in the Holy Quran that he is the one who has the sound heart. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, the sound heart is the heart which is purely devoted to Allah because of its pure belief in Allah's oneness. Okay, this is the most important character for the sound heart, the pure belief in Allah's oneness, which is the most important for Allah. Now we will learn about the second type of the white hearts in the Quran, which is the comfort heart, and it is mentioned in Surah number 13, verse number 28. Surah number 13, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 28. I think let me give you maybe another verse before it, so that, okay.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Those who have believed and whose hearts are assured by the remembrance of Allah, unquestionably by remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured.
Okay. So in this verse of the Quran, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah the Almighty is mentioning to us about the comfort hearts. Okay, actually comfort, we are learning about types of hearts in the Quran.
Types of hearts?
Good. You can take what I wanted. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So actually you mentioned one type, which is the sound heart, and now we are in the second, which is the comfort heart. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So when you are with Allah, with the bond of the belief in Allah the Almighty, okay, that bond will give you the feeling of tranquility and reassurance because you feel and you believe that you don't stand alone in the universe. But Allah the Almighty, the one who is the controller of everything, the owner of everything, the one who plans everything, is with me. I am under his protection, okay, and he is taking care of me. So long you have this connection with Allah, through this bond, inshallah, you will feel the mercy, the tranquility, and the reassurance, and you will have a comfort. Actually, sisters, we must all agree that no one on the earth is more miserable than those whom they are deprived the blessing of a close relation with. That is to say, they are deprived the feeling of being protected by Allah, being connected to Allah, being receiving the mercy and the grace of Allah the Almighty. In life, we often experience moments which none can withstand unless we are certain of Allah's support and protection. And in such moments, okay, we will remember that why I don't have a bond with Allah before that difficult moment. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that so long life is good with every one of us, we forget about the connection and the bond with Allah. But there must be some moments in life when you will feel totally helpless. And at that moment, when you look around you, okay, even if you are, and this is always happening, you know, at the time of death of a very close one, or at the time of severe illness, which is happening to the person himself, okay? And you look around and you feel that I am in the biggest medical center, and everything is around me, the best hospitals, best doctors, best nurses, but there is no hope for my cure. No one can cure me. There is no cure. Except when Allah will say B. If Allah says B, there will be cure in a second. But if Allah will not say B, in spite of the fact that I am here in the best expensive medical center in the world, I am totally lost. At that time, okay, we will remember that I am not comfort. I don't have tranquility or reassurance because I don't have the bond with Allah, the Almighty. And at that moment, most of the people, they try to regret the previous times when they were living away from Allah. How can I call Him now? I don't have any relation with Him. I was not obeying Him. I was not connected to Him. I didn't do dua to Him. He is not in my life and I was not obeying His commands. So how I can call on Him now? How I can be sure that He will protect me or give me what I am looking for? Okay. And the most important is the worry which the people are living at that moment. The people live the worry and the fear. Okay. What will happen to me? What is the end result of all this which I am living? X-rays and, you know, lab investigations. Because actually I lived this experience when I was working as a pediatrician. Actually, I was working as a neonatologist for 10 years. And at that moment when I was in the hospital, I see the life and the death. And actually this was the turn point in my life. When I see, you know, how it is only the power and the command of Allah. I was working in the NICU where, you know, you have babies 26 weeks, 28 weeks. The baby is 600 grams. And you will, you know, there are ventilators and nurses. And you spend every day $100,000 in the NICU. It is extremely expensive. You can't imagine. And the baby will stay for 1 month. Day and night, there is a physician and consultant, two nurses, day and night. Okay, and it was happening always that when the baby will grow and he will be in a good shape and we will call the mother, get the clothes and come to receive the baby. Half an hour before giving the baby, the nurse will call and say, the baby is cyanotic. Bradycardia, the heart is going down suddenly. You know, I lived with this for years. Then you will tell her, why? What is going on? He already gained weight and he's in a good shape. She will say, while I was changing the clothes for him, to give him to his mother, he start to show bradycardia. Then everyone will run, you know, to try to help that baby. And the baby will die. You can't imagine, you know, I see this many times. And you stand in front of the baby. Okay, the baby is still here, his body grow up, he looks okay, but there is no life. And the mother is outside, crying, and it is, subhanallah, you know, the precious babies are very big problem in life. You know, subhanallah, you will have a mother whom she's having 9 babies, and she will deliver normally the 10th one, and she will go home. And you will have a mother whom, you know, she is diabetic or she has a problem or she married late, you know, this will be the precious baby. And this is the real problem, the precious baby, you know. So when you realize, you know, that everything is up to Allah, actually for me personally, when I lived these experiences in the neonatal intensive care unit, I said to myself, now I know the reality of life. This is the life. Either Allah will say yes or Allah will not say. If Allah says yes, okay, it is done. If Allah will not say it, and if you have everything, because in this materialistic life, people are under the impression that it is an institution, and it is a physician, no, it is nothing of this. We are supposed and we are commanded to try the means, but not to believe in the means. Never to believe in the means. The one who is commanding the means to be successful. Success is from Allah. That means you cannot make success. So when you realize these facts, you will be all the time looking to have a bond with Allah. With God.
My question is, people that have actually a sound heart, mm-hmm. and they have comfort and tranquility, how do they approach death in their family? How is it different? From
yes, there is a great difference. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have the sound heart, but actually to have a sound and comfort heart, it needs a lot of, number one, to be dedicated and to be believing that it is only Allah. Very clear in your spirit. Only Allah. That's it. Okay? But this needs that you must be close to the Quran. You must try to obey Allah. You must not waste your time away from Allah. It needs a lot of work from you. Okay, but when inshallah Allah will give you the comfort heart, okay, and a big disaster will happen to you, Allah will send for you the acceptance. Okay, this is the most important regarding the disasters of life, the acceptance. Okay, because actually, when I was working also, you know, in this, at that time, you know, sometimes we have some clinics, you know, with the kids whom they have cancer. And the most difficult moment for this is the moment when you inform the patients, the mother and the father, that kid, 3 years old, he is having cancer. So it is the mercy of Allah for those, you know, who is close to Allah and not from the acceptance. It is always the rejection, mostly. Mostly the parents will say, no, this is wrong. No, we will not accept it. Repeat everything. And I will not keep my child in this hospital. We will move to another place. This is very bad. And you accept this from the parents because this is normal. But there are some people, when you say to them this, they will say, this is from Allah. Okay, we accept, but give us some time because it is a very big disaster for us. So how you know how you are close to Allah and you have a comfort heart? When you accept the decree of Allah without rejection or complaining. When you say that so long it is from Allah, so inshallah it will be good. Inshallah Allah will help me and support me during that disaster. And inshallah it will turn to my side. Inshallah, I am sure there is something good in that disaster. Oh Allah, I am accepting. Help me immediately. The heart, those whom they have the comfort heart and the sound heart, they always escape to Allah during the disaster. They never escape to human beings because they believe that the only one who can, take care of me during these very difficult times, not to collapse, is Allah. So they always escape to Allah. So they will say, oh Allah, I accept it. It is from you. It must be good. Immediately Allah will make their spirits to accept it as something good. There must be something good. I am accepting. Oh Allah, shower me with your mercy and patience and help me to tolerate that disaster. And I am sure that I will be keeping on calling on you day and night until inshallah it will end and I will receive its reward and it will be for my sake. And they will become more closer to Allah during the disaster. This is the comfort and sound hearts. But those whom we will learn about them, inshallah, next class, those, the big majority of the human beings, okay, they will not escape to Allah. They will start to complain. This is from Allah. He is always like this with me. He always causes for me troubles. I will not pray. I will not. And the rest of the story is known. Okay, now, inshallah, we will move to the third form of the white hearts, which is the united hearts. We will recite from surah number 8, verse number 60. 62 and 63. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن جنحوا للسلم فاجنح لها وتوكل على الله إنه هو السميع العليم. وإن يريدوا أن يخدعوك فإن حسبك الله هو الذي أيدك بنصره وبالمؤمنين. وألف بين قلوبهم لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم إنه عزيز حكيم.
And if they incline to peace, then incline to it also and rely upon Allah. Indeed, it is He who is the hearing, the knowing. But if they intend to deceive you, then sufficient for you is Allah. It is He who supported you with His help and with the believers and brought together their hearts. If He had spent all that is in the earth, you could not have brought their hearts together. But Allah brought them together. Indeed, He is exalted in might and wise.
So actually, sister, what is the meaning of the united hearts? The faith, when it touches, or the belief, the iman, when it touches people's hearts, it gives them a mixture of love, familiarity, and compassion towards each other. That establishes between them a firm and deeply rooted bond. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, some of Allah's servants shall have on the day of judgment a position so close to Allah that prophets would love to have. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam companions said, Messenger of Allah, will you please tell us who these people are? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are people who love one another for Allah's sake only. They have no relation of kinship or business interests with one another. By Allah, their faith are radiant and with light, and they have light. They shall experience no fear or sadness when other people are taken by fear and sadness on the day of judgment. What is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning of this, sister, is that when you love Islam, when you love your religion, when you believe that Allah the Almighty is the most merciful, He created me a Muslim, or He made me to become a Muslim, okay, so you will love Allah. This is the basic concept in Islam, is to love Allah. When you love Allah, you will have a heart full of love. So you are commanded to love all the Muslims, basically. Whether you know them or you don't know them, I love them. Okay? Maybe I am not in so close relation with them so that I can keep my love to them. Okay? This is my rule. Okay? I always have a space so that I can keep my love. Okay? So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, you will have a feeling of love towards other Muslims. And actually, sisters, you must all the time try to keep this love. For example, if you are coming to the class, inshallah, you will meet sisters whom you don't know anything about them, except that they are coming like you to the masjid to learn the book of Allah. So, you must have a feeling of love to that sisters. Why? Why you must have a feeling of love to their sisters? Because on the day of judgment, because of the love between each other, Allah the Almighty will give us a place or a position so close to Allah that the prophets would love to have. You see, sisters, this is how Allah wants the Muslims to love each other and to help each other and to support each other. And this is the weak point regarding the Muslims, why they are not successful as a nation. Because they don't love each other. But if they know that, if I love you, I am the great winner, because I will be on the day of judgment because of you. If you are not in my life, I will not find anyone to love for the sake of Allah. Okay, but because of you and because I love you, inshallah, I will have the best place closer to Allah on the day of judgment, and the prophets, the position which the prophets would love to have. On the day of judgment, inshallah, you will have light, inshallah, and you will have radiant face, and you will not have the fear and the sadness of the Day of Judgment. So actually, you know, I always believe that it is the lack of knowledge which the Muslims have, okay, which is behind, you know, their situation as a nation. Because if I believe that when I love the sisters in Islam, what is the problem? They will not take from me anything, because everyone is worried that someone will ask her to give her anything. Nobody wants to give anything. I can love you from the depth of my heart, but I cannot give you $1. Yes, this is the reality. This is the basic reality. If you want to say the truth, we can say the truth. If you want to lie, we can lie. No problem. But there is no time for me to lie. I am already very old. I can't say except the truth, which makes a lot of sisters upset with me, but I care for Allah only. Okay? So if we believe that, we must love each other. What is the problem to love the people? Okay, I love every sister. I love her. I hope that she will love me. I hope that she will be having good manners with me. Okay, all praise to Allah. If it happens, and it sometimes happens, that maybe I am not good. I will not say the other sisters are not good. Maybe I am not good. So what is the problem? I will not forget about loving any Muslima because of that sister. No, I can't. Because I am looking for that position on the Day of Judgment. I want to be close to Allah. I want to have radiant face. I want to have light. I don't want to have fear or sadness on the Day of Judgment. So how can I have that, all these blessings, when I love the sisters? But that sister is not good, no problem. That sister is selfish, no problem. That sister is not polite, no problem. Okay, but still I must keep the love in my heart. I love the Muslim sisters. Okay, so this is a fact which we must remember again, sisters. Because when you look to the eyes of the sisters, you don't feel that they are united. You feel that this is the group of the Egyptian Muslim, and this is the Syrian Muslim, and this is the Pakistani Muslims, and this is the African Muslims, and this is Bangladesh Muslims. Yes, there is no unity in the hearts, no unity. Okay, this masjid is for English speaking. This masjid is for Arabic speaking. Then Arabic speaking will complain, why we have the khutbah in English? Why? We must have it in Arabic. Yes, we are the Arabic speaking Muslims. What is the problem with the Pakistani Muslims in the masjids in America and in the UK? Yes, but to tell you the truth, Pakistani are the one taking care of the masjids. Yes, spending for the masjids. Yes, I must say the truth. You know, at a time, if you feel that you fear Allah, you must say the truth, even if you don't like it. Even if you tell me, Sister Mona, do you have mistakes? I tell you, yes, I have a lot of mistakes. What is the problem? Or I have a lot of problems, or I am nervous, or whatever. Yes, Sister Mona is not so good as you see. No problem. What is the problem for this? When you fear Allah, you will say the truth loudly. Because Allah knows the truth, and Allah writes the truth. So I will lie for the sake of the human beings? Never. They are nothing. Okay? So we are not united. We are still, you know, everyone is belonging to the country. I am from Egypt. You know, this actually, why I am stressing on this point, because this is the most important reason for the Muslims that they are not united. In America, especially. If the Muslims will unite together, if they love each other, if they support each other, their situation as a nation or as a Muslims, okay, it will be totally different. But the heart, this is the importance of the heart which we are discussing. We can meet each other. Assalamu alaikum, sister. I like you very much. Why you didn't come? Oh, you are very important to me. Okay, then the sister will tell me, can I have your Quran? I don't have a Quran. I have tell her, no, no, no. My Quran, no, sister, I love you, I love you. But Quran, no. Give you anything, no. No, no. Giving, no. But I love you. Love is to give. This is the reality of the love. When you love someone and you are hesitating to give, you don't love that one. Love is to give. And how you know that? When you observe your relation with your kids, because you love your kids and because you love your parents, you are ready to give them everything. But when a Muslim sister will call you, you still love her, but she will not give anything. So you don't love her. Okay? So this is the problem, is that we don't have united hearts. Everyone is under the impression that inshallah on the day of judgment I will have light and I will my face inshallah will be radiant. No, you will not have a radiant face. Okay, and you will have fear and sadness if you don't try to control yourself and say to yourself, I must love all the Muslim sisters. And actually in my Arabic class I was having sisters from all the Arabic countries. And when they come to the class, everyone, as soon as she will enter the class, she will try to look, to check. These are the Egyptians. I will sit beside her. Okay? So in all my classes, I always say to the sister, don't mention your country. Don't sit beside any sister whom you feel that she's belonging to your country. Don't make groups in the class. We are Muslims. All praise to Allah. In America, we are Muslims. How I will meet a sister from Africa or a sister from Bangladesh or from Pakistan or you meet me from Egypt except in America? All praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah, you will be highly rewarded. When you love the sisters, we are all Muslims. We all love Allah. We all pray together. We all have the same book. We must be united from our hearts. And Allah will reward you a lot for this feeling. And this feeling, sister, is very good feelings. You know, to tell you the truth, I feel very upset when I see the sisters' groups in the masjid. Groups. This is the Egyptian group, and this is the, you know, whatever, Syrian group, and this is from Bangladesh group, huh? All American groups. We are all American, to tell you the truth, we are all Muslim.
No, I mean, but sometimes you see a lot
of agree with
people
you.
From America
yes.
just sit together
yes.
because they don't know another language.
They don't speak Arabic.
They don't speak Arabic.
They put them aside.
They want to stay in the same group.
Yes.
With.
Yes.
But, I mean, you can learn other languages. You know, if you try, you can speak you can teach them English and they can teach you their language.
But the people are not interested, Daniel. People are not interested. Everyone wants to follow.
When I went to Hajj, there was
if you want
seven Pakistanis and one Somalian in our room. You know, and I asked him, like, teach me some words in your language, you know, so we can talk to each other, you know.
That's good. But I tell you one thing, actually, living in America, okay, will give you the feeling, you know, that I can communicate with Muslims from all over the world. But when we live in one country, you know, for example, when I was in Egypt, you know, I was not aware or maybe able to communicate with Muslims from all over the world. This is one of the blessings of living in America. We are all Muslims. This is the most important. You know, the most important for me is that this is a Muslim sister. That's it, alhamdulillah, inshallah. When you go to any shopping area, you must say assalamu alaikum to every Muslima. But the problem is that when you say assalamu alaikum, they always don't reply.
They look at you like you're crazy.
There's something that actually I was surprised by. When I was in college, I'm from Africa, and a lot of time I would actually relate better to people from Africa. Wherever you're from, you relate better to people from your area. So I had roommates, and usually sometimes there will be roommates from different parts of the world, but sometimes they will be from Africa. And they will be good friends, and I'll really like them, and we'll have a good time, and we'll not have any problems. But when I went to Egypt, and I never really had Muslim roommates, I had Hindus, and I've had a Christian roommate. But when I went to Egypt and I met people from East Europe and then the UK and then Bangladesh, we were all in the same apartment. And I never felt as safe with being with people that know my faith than when I've been with people from my country. It was so much more tranquility because they know Islam, so I was able to be more trustful, even though they don't know exactly my culture. It was easier to be with them than anybody else.
Alhamdulillah. This is a good feeling for you, and alhamdulillah, this is a good experience, alhamdulillah. But I'm speaking generally. Okay, generally, Muslims are not united. You know, if you agree, you agree with me.
We're not united.
Are we united?
Not so much so. I think there's, you'll find a sprinkle of people who want to be united, but as far as following that practice and going through, it's difficult.
I probably thought it was easier to be with Africans, but if you look at it, if people really make an effort in Islam, then it's easier to be with Muslims than to be with people from your own countries that might not be Muslim.
Actually, from my experiences in the masjid for the last 10 years, okay, I don't feel that this unity is very clear.
I go to several different masjids regularly. Like, I don't have a set masjid. Well, Hamza is the closest because it's the closest to my house, but me and my family, we go to different masjids. So if you were to ask me, is there unity? I cannot tell you, yes, there's unity. There's only groups of people who know each other or they're from the same culture. Like if I were to go to a masjid, let's say Masjid Farouk, for example, I can't walk in there and everybody would be like, oh, Assalamu alaikum, sister, and want to shake my hand or give me a hug or kiss. No, that doesn't happen. It's just every man for themselves, every sister for herself, find a spot, sit down, be quiet, do whatever you have to do, and go. That's just generally
happened.
You can make the effort yourself put yourself out there.
But they may accept you or not.
You know, I'll get phone numbers and things of this nature, but I'll never get a call, or if I call a couple of times, after a while, they stop picking up the call. So it's just like, okay, never mind. So, I mean, you can make an effort to try to unite yourself with others, but it's difficult for it to continue or to be long-lasting.
This is a reality. For me, when I arrived to Houston, they told me the Masjid of the Arabs is Masjid al-Farouk. So I went to Masjid al-Farouk. And when I enter, I said, nobody, none, say to me, Salamu alaikum. None, zero. Okay? And if you ask to give a class there, no, you cannot give a class there. Never, no class. No. Okay, then alhamdulillah I came to IFGH main center, and alhamdulillah I have the permission to give classes in any masjid.
Don't get me wrong, I would say my experience was solely with people I lived with,
yes.
Not because I went to a masjid.
Because
it was
we live
only
in one
people
apartment.
I lived
you when must
I,
be close to each other
but it was when I lived with different people from my country that were not Muslim, that were from different faiths. And when I lived with Muslims that were from different countries that I had no idea, I never heard of Albania. Like, I didn't know anything about Albania, but I lived with somebody from Albania. And it was easier, like, it's almost like I didn't have as much, I was more trusting in the sense that I had been with people that were from my country and were fun and very pleasant, very good, but it's a different feeling.
Yeah,
it's a totally different one.
Yeah, it would be easier because one, eating is the same, praying is the same, clothing, so that would make it definitely easier in that situation.
We pray to Allah that we have united hearts. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a Muslim meets his Muslim brother or sister and shake hands, their sins shall fall off just like leaves fall off a dry tree in a windy day. Their sins shall be forgiven even though they appear to be as huge as sea foam. Okay, so this means that when we shake hands, we lose our sins, we get rid of our sins. But who is shaking hands nowadays?
Nobody.
Thank you. Let us move. I didn't see anyone shaking hands. Okay.
We should.
We should, yes, inshallah. After the class, let us remember to shake hands. At least we will start,
A lot of times, like, I'll go to hug someone and they say, oh, let's shake hands. Then they remind me of this, that your sins fall off when you shake hands.
It's funny, my son, he just did that the other day. Yeah, this weekend, we went to go visit some family friends, and you could see him hesitating, like, okay, should I shake this book? But the person wasn't a Muslim, but they have a habit of when they see someone to shake their hands. So I could see him standing up like this, but then he was just like, oh, well, So I told the woman, I said, yeah, my son wants to shake your husband's hand, but he doesn't know what to do. But he has a habit of, shaking.
Because of the Islamic school. good of the inshallah in our class we'll check him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually he made several statements on this point regarding the unity of the hearts. His actions confirm that such love and unity which constitutes an essential factor in the message of Islam, the unity. Okay, and his community was based on the unity of the hearts. Actually, this is the community of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, at that time. The fourth kind of the hearts which we learn today is the hearts that are filled with fear and respect to Allah. They are mentioned in Surah number 8, verse number 2. Surah number 8, verse number 2. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون.
بسم الله الرحيم. The believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts become fearful, and when His verses are recited to them, it increases them in faith, and upon their Lord they rely.
Actually, sisters, this is the hearts when Allah's name is mentioned, okay, you will feel Allah's greatness in your heart. And when you will feel Allah's greatness in your heart, you will feel the fear and the love to Allah, because you know how great is Allah, the one who is controlling everything. So this is actually a must for every believer. If you believe that inshallah I am close to Allah, I am a true believer, you must feel, your heart must become fearful, okay? And when you listen to the verses of the Quran, you must feel that you are affected by the words of Allah. These are the words of Allah. So when the words of Allah will be mentioned, your heart will feel the words of Allah, so inshallah you will be one of the true believers. The fifth kind of the white hearts in the Quran is the softened heart. This is mentioned in Surah number 39, verse number 23. Surah number 39, verse number 23. Number 39, verse number 23. Bismillah ar-Rahman. You can show on the street with you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu nazzathana al-hadith kitaban mutashabiham masaniya taqsha'irru minhu juludu alladhina yakhshawna rabbahum thumma talinu juluduhum wa qulubuhum ila dhikrillah dhalika hudallahi yahdi bihi man yashaa wa man yudlilillahu fama lahu min hadd.
Allah has sent down the best statement, a consistent book wherein is reiteration. The skins shiver therefrom of those who fear their Lord. Then their skins and their hearts relax at the remembrance of Allah. That is the guidance of Allah by which He guides whom He wills. And one whom Allah sends astray, for him there is no guide.
Now we will move that to the hearts that always turn in repentance to Allah. The hearts that always turn in repentance to Allah. Surah number 50, verse number 33. Surah number 50, verse number 33. The hearts that always turn in repentance to Allah. Because actually, sisters, not all the people, they turn quickly in repentance to Allah. But those whom they have the white hearts, they always turn in repentance quickly to Allah. Surah number 50, verse number 3333. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We will recite actually, sister, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from verse number 21 to 23. From 21 to 23, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَأُذْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ هَذَا مَا تُوَعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ مَنْ خَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ ادْخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ ذلك يوم الخلود لهم ما يشاءون فيها ولدينا مزيد. From 31 to 35. Okay, you can read. You want to read? Okay. It is your turn.
And paradise will be brought near to the right, to the righteous, not far. This is what you were promised for every return to Allah and keeper of His covenant, who feared the most merciful in the unseen and came with a heart returning in repentance. Enter it in peace. It is the day of eternity. They will have whatever they wish therein, and with us is more.
So actually, sister, these verses of the Quran are clarifying the importance of having a heart which always come to Allah or return to Allah in repentance. Whenever you feel that you did a sin, immediately repent to Allah, ask Allah's forgiveness, okay, and promise Allah that you will never repeat that sin again. Okay, inshallah, when you have this heart which is returning to Allah in repentance, inshallah, Allah will reward you the paradise. But I want you to recite, to read again surah, verse number 33. Allah is saying, who feared the most merciful in the unseen and came with a heart returning in repentance. You will always return in repentance when you fear Allah in the unseen. What is the meaning? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خشى الرحمن بالغيب. This means that I don't see Allah, okay, but we believe that Allah is with us all the time through His knowledge. So I fear Him in spite of the fact I don't see Him. Okay, I fear Him because I believe in His knowledge. Okay, accordingly, because I fear Allah, okay, and Allah is always, I always feel the existence of Allah in my spirit, the moment I did a sin, I will repent immediately. How I remember this quick repentance? Because I have Allah all the time in my heart. I feel Allah all the time. Okay? Those whom they don't repent, those are the ones whom they forget about Allah. Okay? Allah is not there. Okay? So they do mistakes or they do sins and they forget to repent. But when you find someone who is always repenting and who is always, all the time, sister, try to put it on your tongue, oh Allah, I ask your forgiveness. Oh Allah, I ask your forgiveness all the time. Okay? So that when you will do a sin, okay, immediately, inshallah, you will ask Allah for forgiveness, or oh Allah, I repent to you and I ask your forgiveness. Always remember the forgiveness and the repentance, and maybe inshallah next year we will have the classes about repentance, okay, and forgiveness, asking forgiveness of Allah in full details, because this is very important in our life. And because actually, sister, sometimes we oppress ourselves by not asking Allah's forgiveness. Okay, there are many actually situations in our life when we oppress ourselves. Okay, and we are not supposed to oppress ourselves, because ourselves is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Self is a trust. So you're not supposed to oppress yourself, because it is a trust. You don't own yourself. Allah owned yourself. Okay? So when you don't ask Allah's forgiveness, when you don't repent, you oppress yourself, because you keep the sins. And on the day of judgment, the price will be very high. So if you remember in the worldly life to repent all the time, okay, this means that you save yourself. Okay. Now, inshallah, we will move to the next type of the white hearts. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, about repentance, okay, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, when a believer commits a sin, a black dot will be engraved on his heart. If he repents, refrains, and regrets, his heart will be polished again. So this is the importance of repentance. Okay, you will remove the black dots from your heart. Because inshallah next week, when we will learn about the black hearts, it is the hearts which are full of black dots. And these black dots will make a seal on the hearts. So they will never receive any mercy from Allah, and they will never obey any of the commands of Allah. This is because of the sealed hearts. Okay, so you must all the time remove the black dots from our hearts, which are the sins. How? By the quick repentance. Okay, quick, sincere repentance, not just to repent by the lip, and you plan to continue. The next form of the white heart is the heart that submits to the truth with humility. The heart that submits to the truth with humility. Surah number 22, verse number 54. You see, sisters, how many types of the hearts in the heart in the Quran when we don't know much about it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 22, verse number 54.
What was this type of heart?
This is the heart that submits to the truth with humility. It will be more clear, you know. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, the truth is the Quran. So it is the heart that submits to the Quran with humility. This means the heart which likes to obey the commands of Allah. Okay, so we will recite now, inshallah, sisters, from surah number 22, verse number 54. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلْيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ فَيُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ فَتُخْبِتْ لَهُ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهَادٍ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ.
And so those who are given knowledge may know that it is the truth from your Lord, and therefore believe in it, and their hearts humbly submit to it. And indeed is Allah the guide of those who have believed to a straight path.
So actually, sisters, these are the hearts that realize the truth of life. How I realize it? From the Holy Quran. Okay, and then it submit to it very simply. Okay, with humility. Okay, because there are many people when you tell them Allah commanded 1, 2, 3, 4, why? Immediately, why? I don't feel it. It is not good. Can I deviate from it a little bit? Okay. Form or type of the white hearts, heart that is strengthened with faith, strengthened with faith. Strengthened, yes, with faith. We will recite now from surah number 18, verse number 14. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 18, verse number 14. Strengthened with iman, with belief. Surah number 18, verse number 14. 18, 14. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحيم نحص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا.
It is we who relate to you, O Muhammad, their story and truth. Indeed, they were youths who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance. And we bound their hearts when they stood up and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Never will we invoke besides Him any deity. We would have certainly spoken then in excessive transgression.
So actually, sister, these are the hearts whom they were firm in the belief. When you are firm in your belief, okay, these are the form of their hearts. Okay, when someone will come and tell you, hey, don't come to the masjid, okay, because, you know, in America it is better not, okay, be away from the masjid and obey Allah. It's the protector and everything is up to us. Okay, so these are the hearts that are firm in their belief. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So how many kinds of hearts we learn today, sisters? Number one. Okay, you can say it. Okay, Hanin, you can tell us how many hearts we learn today.
List each one.
How many?
Eight.
Can you mention them?
Mm-hmm. Under white heart, we have sound heart, comfort heart, united heart, heart filled with fear and respect for Allah, softened heart, hearts that always quickly repent to Allah, hearts that submit to truth with humility, and the heart that is strengthened with faith.
So actually, sisters, these are the eight forms of the white heart which we learn today from the Holy Quran. We pray to Allah the Almighty to give us these kinds of hearts, because actually these are the hearts which, inshallah, Allah will accept the deeds from them. These are the pure hearts having the pure intention. And inshallah, when you have these hearts, every act and everything in your life will be an act of worship. And inshallah, next week we will learn about the opposite side of the hearts, or the other form of the hearts, which are the black hearts, inshallah, next week. And let us make dua. Ya Rahman Rahim, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Alhamdulillah.